Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This hour is brought to you by Busey Bank.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Score.
And 670thescore.com. In Odyssey Station.
Dosunmu to the rim. Dosunmu with a left-handed layup. He would not be denied going to the rack.
Yeah, you know, of course, me being drafted in the second round, every night, you know, I have to play with a chip on my shoulder just to prove that where I thought I should have belonged. But, you know, that's all in the past. I try to go out there and compete on defensive end and do the little things. So that's what I try to do today.
That's one of the steals of last year's draft, Ayo Dosunmu. You heard the Bulls call on your home for Bulls basketball, Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chuck Swirsky and Bill Weddington. And here to tell us what the Bulls may do at another important juncture for this team is Young Rob. He is Rob Schaefer on Twitter at Rob_Schaefer. He of NBC Sports Chicago is with us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Rob, what's happening, man?
Not much, Dan. Gearing up, big week for the Bulls and obviously all of the NBA this week, and then we'll get really rolling with the offseason. So fun time to be locked in.
Rob, we came in talking about Ayo Dosunmu. I'd love to know what the Bulls said was the success of their scouting and drafting of Ayo Dosunmu. What victory did they get in doing that and finding that player?
Yeah, I think the story of Ayo, at least so far, Lawrence, the success of him, it's kind of that cliche you hear about drafting the person as well as the player. Like, if you get a guy in your building who has a certain set of skills, and you hear about them all the time in draft season, you know, the measurables, the length, wingspan, height, positional size, et cetera. A guy that can play or defend multiple positions. All of those different things look great on paper. But when you're actually talking about developing somebody, you want someone probably that has a track record of improvement in the past and that you could reasonably project is going to be a nose to the grindstone type person and continue to, you know, chart that improvement in the future. Because at the end of the day, nobody comes into the NBA in a draft context, you know, a finished product. And I think Ayo was a perfect example of a guy who was a certain type of player in college, came into the NBA, recognized that he was probably going to have to, you know, play a little bit different of a role in the NBA. He really got on the floor with his defense early in the season, improved dramatically as a shooter and a playmaker, having to, you know, shoulder some starting point guard responsibilities throughout the year. And I think what that speaks to is, yeah, you had somebody who has good size for a combo guard, long, tenacious defensively, has these innate gifts. But because he came in, you know, with a humble approach, with a growth mindset, you know, was extremely coachable, took instruction well, he developed into what he is. And that's what makes you feel good. You know, no matter how old he is, no matter how much time he spent in college, about him, you know, continuing to be that player and more for the Bulls in the future. So I think, you know, when you look at what they could do at 18 this year, there's no, I don't think, science to, okay, they can apply exactly this that they, you know, saw in Ayo and just project it to the 18th pick and they'll get an instant role player from day one. But I think what we're learning over time is that drafting the person and getting to know, you know, someone's character can be just as important as, you know, the skill traits that they have when you talk about drafting and developing an NBA player.
the bonus that they got from Io's accelerated development almost obscures the truth of Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley, and that is their belief in development over time. Not everybody's going to be Io, you know. So when you look at what Toronto did and does, when you look at what Denver did and does, I've got to go back and listen to what I said when they put this front office together and remember that they look at this differently. They look at draft capital differently, maybe more of a baseball mentality or a hockey mentality when it comes to some of this. And how does that inform the 18th pick because of where they are? Does it, when we say, oh, they got to get a contributor on a rookie scale deal who can step right in and be part of a rotation, or do they not care about that in a good way? Do they say, look, we're just going to amass talent, and when this player's ready, this player will be ready, and it isn't necessarily part of trying to win a playoff series next year?
Yeah, it's an interesting point you raised there, Dan, and I think it speaks to how difficult this front office has been to kind of pin down, because like you said, AK specifically comes from Denver, where I think the mantra down there with the team that they've built, we obviously didn't get to see it healthy last year, but we will to a degree this year, had been draft Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., Monty Morris. Like, draft, develop those guys, and then retain them. Like, they compensate their guys and they bring them back. And the front, you know, AK specifically, when they came in here, Billy, you know, in his first comments, I remember him well, a lot of the onus for this Bulls team was on player development. You know, we figured it would be a build through the draft type of mentality because the Bulls were in a rebuilding state at that time. And again, like you said, that was the track record. And it's, you know, ever since the trade deadline when they traded for Nikola Vucevic, it's been a very aggressive kind of work the trade market, work the sign-in trade market, the free agent market to try to improve immediately as much as possible, you know, future draft capital aside. Like, they've invested a lot of future draft capital into kind of immediate upgrades. But I think when you look at, you know, say they make this pick on Thursday, whether it be the 18th pick, whether they trade up, whether they trade back, whatever, I still think the core philosophy of this front office is something that AK said before his first draft when he drafted Patrick Williams, a pick that surprised a lot of people. It's this best player available, and I think within that, it's kind of not factoring in roster fit as much as upside, as much as talent, as much as character, as much as, you know, you can never draft, whether you're drafting fourth overall or 18th overall or 30th overall. I think it's kind of a fool's errand a lot of times to draft for fit because your roster, especially in the NBA in this day and age, can look so different 1 year to the next. They might, you know, as they did with Io last year, they might, you know, and I don't mean this in any derogatory way, but they might stumble into an instant contributor. But I think the enduring philosophy of this front office is best player available, roster fit, you know, be damned to a degree. The kind of flip side of that, or the bright side of that, I guess you could say, is that this Bulls team, especially in the depth department, has so many holes to plug that I don't think there's a player that they could take at 18. If they think that person is going to be a really good player, I don't think there's a player type they could take that wouldn't help them, especially from a depth perspective.
All right, where do Tyler Cook and Marko Simanović fit in this picture? Simanović, and those of us who actually did watch all the video available, scouting videos of him, he remains intriguing and clearly wasn't ready to play in the NBA, but they wanted him on that roster. And Cook has an NBA body, and though he was undrafted, they clearly see some moldable raw materials there too. Do both remain prospects, and where is the arrow pointed?
Well, Marco, you know, is under contract for the next two seasons, you know, barring a trade where he would be, you know, a filler of some kind. I would expect him to be on the team next year. Now, with Marco, it's a question of, and hopefully we'll see him in summer league. You know, it'll be a question of how much is he able to kind of build himself out strength wise throughout the off season. Cause you know, he never really got in for non-garbage time minutes this year, but I think you could reasonably say that from a physically, he just wasn't, you know, ready to match up with NBA frontcourt players at that point in his career. The jump shot, I watched a lot of his tape from the Adriatic League. The jump shot looked like a real weapon for him over there. It didn't necessarily translate to the expanded three-point line, at least not right away. He'll be an interesting case, but I mean, I would expect Marco to be around. Until we see what this offseason yields for him, though, I don't necessarily feel comfortable projecting a rotation role for him next year necessarily just because of how far off he was last year. And then Cook, I mean, he was on a two-way deal last year. That's something that they'll have to figure out if they want to bring him back, whether that be on a deal with, you know, the actual team or maybe the Windy City Bulls again. I'm one of the few, and I think I remember talking to you about this, Dana, you know, back during that or right after that first Bucks matchup, when he guarded Giannis for a lot of that game and actually fared pretty well. I might be one of the few Tyler Cook fans out there. Not that people dislike Tyler Cook, but just I don't think he's talked about very much.
No, I brought him up for a reason.
Yeah, but I think he's interesting, especially when you talk about this team's need in the front court, need for physicality, need for kind of an interior thrust. I'm interested in Tyler Cook. Now, the question is, you know, those two-way deals don't translate year over year, so they would have had to see enough of him last year to, you know, potentially bring him back in a more expanded deal. I think that's something we'll get answered in the next few weeks, you know, once free agency plays out and we get a little deeper into the summer.
With you guys on the Bulls Talk podcast, Rob, I know that you're saying like, the Bulls is an organization, like they're not looking necessarily for need or for fit, but when you guys are breaking it all down, what's the list of needs and is there a hierarchy to what you think the Bulls' needs are this offseason?
Yeah, I think number one there, I'd put size, and I'd put front court size. And ideally, you know, again, I'm going to end up listing a lot of things that every NBA team is looking for and then that are hard to find. But front court size and front court versatility, I think, would be high up on my list. And that's why me, as someone who, you know, is not a professional scout by any means or an NBA front office member, I look at some of these draft prospects, and my mind does immediately go to fit. I look at a guy like EJ Liddell, who, you know, is 6'7", 240, can potentially play the four or the five at the NBA level, protect the rim and switch out onto the perimeter. And I think he's the type of guy that looks like an interesting fit in the mold of a, you know, just NBA names that people recognize in the mold of a PJ Tucker or a Grant Williams who made a name for himself in these playoffs. Like, I think a player like that gives you a little bit more heft on the interior and also allows you to play multiple different ways. Because as much as depth was an issue for this Bulls team last year, there also was a stylistic inflexibility to them that I think in some ways comes with a team that's going to be anchored by Nikola Vucevic and without much of a backup center option, or at least a viable one, for most of the year. So I think that would be very, very high up on my list. Now, again, you know, whether that gets addressed in the draft or for agency remains to be seen. But I think they need to add, you know, a couple viable bodies in the front court from a size, rim protection, rebounding perspective. In the offseason. And then a little bit lower down, I mean, the wing is going to need to be restaffed if you don't have a guy like Troy Brown Jr. or Derrick Jones back next season. Those guys weren't rotation mainstays by any means, but they were, you know, bodies in the wing rotation. I think they'll need some viable options behind DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine. Preferably you'd want kind of bigger wing bodies. Again, size. This team played small so much last year, and when they were healthy, it worked with Alex Caruso and Lonzo Ball, but you know, I think if last season taught us anything, it's that they need to be a little bit more, you know, flexible to weather adversity in the injury department or availability department. And then from every position, shooting. Just didn't get up in the threes last year when Lonzo went down. The percentage cratered. And I think, you know, if you watched that five-game Bucks series, the inability to hit open threes when they were conceded by that Milwaukee defense is really part of what sunk them in a major way and led to a couple pretty bad blowout losses. And I think you could even say that was a big factor down the stretch of the regular season when they kind of faded too. So size in the front court and on the wing, shooting. And I think if you can add that in rotation spots 5 through 9, they could be in a much better position next season.
Speaking of Lonzo Ball, I ask everyone who covers this Bulls team this question. How worried are you about Lonzo Ball?
Hard to put an exact number or kind of assertion on it. But I would say I'm watching next season closely, and that'll be kind of my big determiner of, you know, how much of a concern long-term this is going to be. Cause you're dealing with somebody who obviously has now a history of multiple operations in that same knee that he got worked on this year. He's also somebody that's dealt with, you know, the bone bruise is really the thing that exacerbated, you know, that knee injury post-op last year. He's had a history of those too. I mean, a sprained ankle in his second season with the Lakers kind of was exacerbated by a bone bruise and ended up turning, similar to the Bulls, a 6 to 8 week timeline into a season ending injury. So I'd be concerned about that too. As well as the fact that, you know, he's not a guy that has a track record of playing more than 60 games in a regular season. in his 5 years. I'm fairly concerned, but, you know, as AK said at his end-of-season presser, as kind of has been the messaging from the organization, I think they're just trying to be optimistic with it and let next season be kind of a decider of that, or just get more information on it if he can spend a full offseason and get healthy. But I think you'd be a fool to not be a little bit concerned about it. Still a young player, so you hope that maybe he could find some resiliency over time. But it's certainly one of the biggest kind of looming questions over the Bulls going into next year.
Is Patrick Williams going to play summer league?
That is a good question. We have not really gotten much of an update on that. Patrick sounded open-minded to it the last time we talked to him. I would lean no, only because, you know, or at least that would be my guess, my speculative guess, only because last summer league, he played 3 games. He kind of showed what he needed to show and got out of there. And, you know, there's an injury risk to it, you know, going into his third season. Now, it would be only his second summer league. I don't see it as something that is necessary for Patrick Williams going into his third year necessarily as important as the third year as it will be for him. But I do expect Io to play. You know, I would expect a first round pick, provided there is one, to play, maybe some undrafted free agent guys that'll be worth a look. Marco, I think, could benefit for it for some of the reasons we talked about earlier. Patrick, I wouldn't necessarily be counting on, but I wouldn't rule it completely out either. I just would lean no as of right now.
I can't get it out of my head how significant this year is for him, and where the Bulls overall as a team, their improvement is if they stick with this core and if AK does what he says he's going to do, and that is build around the margins of this core one way or the other, and there's no blockbuster trades. That's where the Bulls' improvement is in his improvement. That's really it. If he takes, however you want to define it, whatever cliche you want to use of an incremental step or a next level, raising his floor, whatever it is, that's, you're a better team. You are more likely to win that playoff series. You are going to get closer to the Eastern Conference Finals if he is good. And it's almost as simple as that if the other pieces come back how they are and they have relative good health.
Yeah, and perhaps there would be some benefit to, you know, as he did last summer, just kind of try out things that he's worked on skill development-wise, you know, in a professional environment, or at least something close to a professional environment, not fully, obviously, you know, in a summer league context. At the same time, 2 or 3 games there, I would think that the, you know, surrounding work of his offseason, building strength, building endurance, kind of all the mental stuff, building on the film study aspects of his game that he said that he, you know, improved upon when he was injured last season. I would think that that's a little bit more important, but, you know, we'll see what happens. It certainly would add intrigue to summer league. I don't know. He was so good in his stint last year. I just don't know what else he could show. But if he sees it as you know, useful for his own personal development, I could see it happening.
Rob, what type of coverage is NBC Sports Chicago planning for the draft?
Yeah, we'll be loaded up all week. We've got a bunch of prospect profiles. My colleague Casey Johnson and I up on the site now. We've got a mock draft up. You know, going up into draft night, we'll obviously have instant reactions. We'll have a podcast to the pick or whatever the Bulls do on draft night. And it'll be good to hear from the brain trust again. And, you know, maybe the next person to walk in the door on this roster, just kind of on the direction of the team. And then that obviously flows straight into free agency, which will be an interesting time as well. So yeah, TV, podcast, website, we'll be all over that on NBC Sports Chicago.
Outstanding. Rob Schaefer, thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, guys.
I like Rob. Rob's a real dude, man. When he first got to NBC Sports Chicago, I was still working there. I mean, I guess technically I'm back working there, but I got to meet him. Like, man, this dude is, we got two guys in this city that I think are similar in the way that they approach it. I think Rob and Cody are similar in the way that they approach covering the Bulls. And I love it. I love how granular both of those dudes are.
Yeah. They both take a scholarly approach,
mm-hmm.
which I obviously enjoy. There's an intellectualism to it that I think befits some of the best NBA coverage that's going on right now.
Do we have time? I want to follow up on something you asked Rob about when it came to Patrick Williams, because I think it's important.
Let's do that when we come back and also have fun with an NBA championship celebration.
And Hennessy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.